So in the gospel today, we see these four men bringing this paralyzed man to Jesus. The fact there is a huge crowd pressing around Jesus doesn't stop them. The fact there is no obvious way to get their friend to Jesus doesn't stop them. No, they climb on top of the roof and start digging. What amazing determination. And what does Jesus say? Seeing their faith, he says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." Seeing their faith, not the man's faith, but the faith of the friends. Jesus knows what our greatest and deepest need is. He cuts straight to the chase. And at the risk of being seen as a blasphemer, he addresses this man's deepest need, as he desires to address our deepest need, to have our sins forgiven. Jesus doesn't even wait for the man to ask him. Have you noticed that our world seems to be experiencing more frequent and intense crises? Not only because of terrorism, war, unjust dictatorships, and the fluctuating price of oil, but also because of natural disasters like droughts, floods, volcanoes, earthquakes, and of course, bushfires. Globally, our planet is facing an ecological crisis, and as individuals and families, we are just beginning to understand the enormity of the financial crisis that looms large. The magnitude of all this can make us feel quite helpless, even hopeless. Yet we know there is an even deeper, more profound crisis that grips our lives, a personal crisis that centers around the truth that we all share in the world's pain. Many people wake up in pain or drift off to sleep crying silent tears. Many struggle with anxiety, depression, addiction, or disability. The strange thing is that we may not even feel as though there is any personal crisis in our lives. Despite the global financial crisis, we may have money today, but if we are disconnected from an ongoing source of income, our finances will dry up. Because of the global ecological crisis, while we may have water today, if we're disconnected from our supply through extreme drought, our water will run out. And then in our personal lives, we may think things are okay. Yet, if we're disconnected or have turned away from God's love, then evil forces can take over. In fact, the deeper question we need to ask, especially as we prepare for our Lenten journey, is not how are we getting on, but how are we getting on with God? Does Jesus have the place in our life we would like him to have? Jesus can be pushed out because we leave no room in our hearts. All our energies can become focused selfishly on the passing fads of this world. Do we eat, drink, and be merry, as if we will never be required to give an account of our stewardship to God? Lent is a privileged time of grace to allow us to draw nearer to God and move through our days in God's company. How do we deepen our relationship with God? We can be focused too much on our part of the relationship. Am I praying correctly? Am I praying enough? Am I good enough? Is God pleased with me? But these are not the right questions to ask. The real question is, do I realize how deeply I am loved? That God loves me personally and unconditionally. It is on my recognition of this reality that my relationship with God and other people depends. Pope Benedict says that the only real peace comes from being loved. Of course, it is being loved by the source of all love that we are able to love God and others in return. It is God's love for us that is the driver here, not our efforts. All is grace. All is love. If we truly understand what it means to be in relationship with God, then we will gain a better perspective on the crises in our lives, be they large or small. If God who is truly loves me, what can I fear? Why should I not trust? Why should I be anything other than at peace? If I can grasp something of the depths of God's love for me and recognize that God holds me in the palm of his hand regardless of the crisis that may befall me, than as Julian of Norwich said, all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. The power and sure hope of God's love shines far more brightly than any of the darkness in our lives. Good Friday represents God's participation in the pain of the world, but Easter assures us that the pain of our life, the pain of the world, does not have the final word. At Easter we learn that God raised the Jesus who was crucified to demonstrate that he is the world's true Messiah and leader, that he can indeed take away the sins of the world. So let us take time this Lent to think about the source of our relationship with God and ask for the grace to love God and others with a sincere heart. I pray that this grace season of Lent may be for each of us a time in which we realize how deeply we are loved by God, each of us personally and unconditionally, so that we may share this love with our families and all whom we meet. Mary, our mother, knew the demands of walking in the way of discipleship and responded with unwavering faith and generous love. May the prayers of the Holy Mother of God support us in our pilgrimage as we open our hearts to the grace of conversion that God offers us this Lent. Have a blessed Lent. And living with an Irish priest, I can't help but sometimes take particular note of news stories that appear. And I came across this one, which was that Irish police were baffled by a Polish man, Mr. Jazdy, who seemed to be racking up all of these speeding offences and offences, different addresses and things around the country, and they couldn't quite work out why they couldn't track down this Mr. Jazdy, until one of the officers, who was obviously a bit above the eight ball than the others, realized that that all of the licenses have Preo Jazdy printed on top, which isn't the person's name, but is Polish for driver's license. So they've been writing down driver's license in Polish rather than the person's name, so no wonder no one was turning up to pay the bills. You got to bless the poor Irish, yes. True story. That's the other good thing. Let us pray.